Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lamberth. Today is Sunday, January 31st, 2021. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast listening apparatus. And if you're really into this thing, if this show makes you feel like a natural woman or a man or non-binary entity, go to Apple Podcasts, give it a 5-star review. Let everybody know why you like it, because it leads me closer and closer to world domination and the fact that Gugu Mbatha-Raw will know who I am. If not her, maybe Leanne LaHavis, and she would listen to this and say, oh my God, this guy, he's really funny, isn't he? He's kind of like a big teddy bear, you know? I normally don't go for those type of guys, but he's really cute and he's funny and he has an album out called Failed Running Back. Oh my God, he's very talented, almost as talented as me. And then, like, we can probably get together and that song that she put out a couple years ago called Unstoppable will be about us, you know, like, I have no high as we walk down the line, honey. You know, that song. And, you know, maybe things would happen with us and you would want that. Wouldn't you want that from me? This is episode 482. I have a super special return guest. You know her. You love her. You asked for her. Comedian Katie Compa. I'm going to share that conversation that I had with her with you in a bit. Right now, I just want to talk to you for a few moments. Can I do that? Can I do that? Like, I'm sitting here in my apartment, in my bedroom, recording this podcast, and just, you know, just really the lights are dimmed down, and I just want to talk for a little bit. Had a pretty good week. It was hard. It's hard doing TPS reports, making spreadsheets do things that I never thought could be done, but I did it. And I did it. I didn't think, when I woke up that morning, I didn't think, am I going to be doing things that I've never done on a spreadsheet? I was like, no, I didn't, but I did. I made it happen. TPS reports were turned in and nobody called me after I logged off. So I feel like I did what I needed to do. All right. Fourth wall breaking that a little bit. This not Sunday. I'm recording this thing on a Saturday. I feel like my energy's better on a Saturday. And you're just going to get this podcast from the past like you always do. Really excited about the Super Bowl coming up next week. Go Chiefs. These people that have, you know where I stand. You know where, if you've listened to this show for the almost 8 years that this thing has been going on, you know where I stand. And I just don't get people's Tom Brady agendas. After you cancel everybody else for doing the minimalist thing. But this guy has a MAGA hat. Nobody presses him on. He's my friend. And yeah, you know, yeah. Is he one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time? Yeah, he is. Do I get your do it without Bill Belichick agendas? Of course I get it. Do I agree with it? I don't really care. Bill Belichick didn't play the games. Tom Brady's a great quarterback. If he doesn't win this weekend, he's not better than Joe Montana. And I will have memes locked and loaded if he loses. You bet your bottom dollar on that. Am I going to be on pins and needles next Sunday? You're gosh darn right. You're gosh darn right. And don't try to change these agendas, because you tried to do it Super Bowl weekend last year. You tried to mention Patrick Mahomes' white mother. And God love him. There's interracial love. They made a beautiful kid that could play some football, that knows how to throw that pigskin across a football field. And they did a great thing. Interracial love, I'm for it. I want to be a part of it, maybe. I don't know. I'm open to it. You know, but don't try to switch these agendas up, because there used to be a time in this quasi-great country of ours, where if you had one drop of that black blood, you were in trouble. And I don't know if you can hear my shitty underground neighbor blasting his shitty music. I don't know, but I'm going to power through that. I can hear it. I can kind of feel those vibrations. Shout out to Marky Mark, but not really, because you beat up a Korean kid, an Asian kid or something, and you still get to make movies. They tried to cancel him. He didn't get canceled. But regardless, go Chiefs. I hope that you guys win. I hope that there's more vaccines that come. It seems like there's coming. There's more vaccines coming. I see that Deshaun Watson does not want to play with the Texans anymore, and rightfully so. And as I turn my computer on, it looks like J.J. Watt doesn't want to play with the Texans, according to Ian Rappaport at the time of this recording. As the Texans continue to undergo a facelift, the team... So Ian Rappaport says as the Texans continues to undergo a facelift, the team knows it will have a decision on Watt. The sense from me and Mike Garofalo is that it might make more sense elsewhere. So we'll see. They say J.J. Watt may have played his last game following suit after Deshaun. I hope things are better for them, because that organization was not doing right. I know they damn sure weren't doing right by Deshaun Watson, the way he was getting sacked. Get that guy a better O-line. What else? Speaking of Amazon, speaking of me being a nicer person than Jeff Bezos, I know Amazon recently bought Whole Foods. I'll get to that. So I went to Whole Foods a couple of days ago, and I know Katie doesn't approve of Amazon, but we can't all be perfect like Katie. I went into Whole Foods, and there were some regular customers in there, but it seemed like it was just mostly Instacart or shoppers, whatever. I don't know if Instacart is involved with Whole Foods or not, but it just seemed to be those types of shoppers that were in the store, and that's all it was. It was just like a handful of other just regular customers going in to get food. They were either piling up their cars, like with those, you know, they have those bags with the tape over it with the order barcode. And we're slowly becoming like Pixar was just, I don't know if Pixar has a crystal ball or not, but we're slowly and slowly becoming like, well, no, we're quickly becoming like the people in WALL-E. We're getting there, buddy. But if there was no pandemic, I would be out more than I would be to get stuff like for the elderly and stuff like that. But I think, you know, just more and more people who are able-bodied are doing this thing. Yeah, but I think they're afraid of the pandemic, but it seems like it's just getting closer and closer to that. And then I went to Popeyes. I went to Popeyes last night, and I was in the drive-thru, and in the back parking lot, there were at least like 8 to 10 of those Amazon Prime, like fleet vans, like those vans. And I was like, damn, this shit is just like, they're slowly taking over. So you need to donate to my Patreon. You're not even donating. Just subscribe to Patreon and contribute to make me a bigger entity than Jeff Bezos. You can do that. It's only $3. You can donate whatever you want, I believe. I just think if you donate under $3, I think you just don't get the bonus content. But some people, out of the goodness of their heart, they're donating more than the $3 to get the bonus content. And I really appreciate that, because you're making the podcast grow and you're making this show better and you're making my already velvet tones sound great in this new microphone that I recently bought. And it makes me, because this microphone is so dope, it's like making me dope, and it's making me care even more than I care. So thanks, Patreon people, that I can just kind of massage my ego as I as I fucking do this show. I think that's it. I think I've blabbed enough. You don't need to hear me. Just, you know, Katie Compa and I wanted to get Katie on back on for a while, and she commented on a post on Instagram, and I was like, yo, you know, you can come back on the show whenever you want. And then I just pressed her and I didn't like twist her arm or anything. I ingratiated. I was just like, yo, Katie, I'd love to have you back on the show. And she obliged. And so she's back. And we recorded this a couple of weeks ago. This was the day after Jim Search and Neil Charles were on. And this was the week of the. So Neil and Jim, we recorded on that Friday of the insurrection, the raid on the Capitol, and then Katie and I talked on Saturday. So now, what is it? It's a great conversation. And as I told you a couple of weeks prior, that you know you'd be hearing my thoughts and other people's thoughts on what happened. And now, thankfully. A lot of these people are getting arrested and they're getting dealt with on a federal level for the bullshit that they pulled on January 6th. And I'm happy to hear that. But when you listen to this recording, we do not know about these people getting arrested. So we do talk about that a little bit. And I'm happy that those folks are getting dealt with. So without further ado, please enjoy my conversation with the very lovely and talented Katie Compa, and remember to buy Hard Pass wherever you stream and download music. Enjoy, folks.
I'm not watching anything heavy in the pandemic.
Oh, really? So you just you just have taken your blunt. Are you a big movie person, though?
I like them. It's just that, like, blocking out the time instead of a TV show where I can, like, dip out.
Okay.
It's like, it's a whole, you know, I have ADD and it's like my executive function is always not working correctly. So
I didn't know, like, you had ADD.
Yeah.
Okay. So
so trying to, like, start big projects is, like, impossible.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Well, you've been successful in the past. So
help.
Sure. With help.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think everybody needs it. What TV have you been into?
I've seen like 15 Korean shows in their entirety at this point. I can't doom scroll while I'm watching Korean TV because I have to watch the subtitles. Otherwise, I have no idea what's happening. And they also have a lot of shows with, like, ghosts and shit. Uh-huh. That's, like, you know, just non-pandemic related. So
it's how great. How are you accessing this Korean TV?
Netflix.
Oh, really? You have a VPN or something or what?
No, they just have a lot of Korean content.
Oh, wow. Because,
you know, BTS is, like, huge over here. So Americans are really getting into Korean stuff. So there's a lot available now.
Okay.
And I also, you know, I watched two and then they were like, do you want to watch this one? And I was like, yes, of course I want to watch that one. A ghost? Gotcha. Somebody that can beat up a ghost? I'm definitely watching that.
Okay. All right. Hey, I mean, I have a Korean aunt and I like Korean fried chicken.
Me too.
And I liked Parasite.
Yeah, I haven't seen Parasite, actually, which is, like, insane.
What?
Yeah. I know enough to weigh in, but I haven't actually. After what?
After, like, all the hullabaloo.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I got, you know, that conversation gave me most of the information that I would have come away with. I just haven't watched it yet. But, you know, there's a lot of buzz around this new movie, Minari, and I actually did sign up for a preview of that next week. So,
really? How'd you see? I've been trying to see that through the virtual film festival circuit, and I have had no luck because it constantly sells out.
I don't know if this, it's like a pre-taped. I don't know if how many spots there are. I'll see if I can find the URL again after this. Mm-hmm.
But it's looks fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I had someone on a couple months ago now, just talking about, like, my listeners hate this, but every time, like, I talk about my favorite movies, there's this movie called Columbus, which was written and directed by this. What is wrong with me? I've said it so many times.
You know,
Koganada is the director. He wrote and directed it, and it's on Hulu now. And it's about, actually, Columbus, Indiana is where Mike Pence is from.
Oh,
And it doesn't have anything to do with him. It's just a young Korean translator comes to Columbus, Indiana to check on his father who is in a coma. And he meets this young girl, like college age girl, who is really into architecture. And so the movie's about those two people, but it's around Columbus, Indiana, which is unbeknownst to me before I saw this movie, was this like bastion of modern architecture. And it's like it's just really fantastic indie art house movie. And so that's like my favorite movie in the past 5 years. And it's written and directed by a Korean American dude. Saw this movie called Gook. That's the title of the movie. I'm not being racist. It came out the same year, 2017. I recently saw that, and fantastic. Korean dude made the movie. So I probably would be into some of those shows.
I was in Croatia 2 years ago. Remember traveling? I was in Croatia and I was by myself for like a night in Split, and I went to a restaurant by myself and they had no room. So I sat at the bar, and the other people at the bar were from South Korea. Mm-hmm. So one didn't speak any English at all. The other one kept apologizing for his English. And I was like, we're having a conversation. Your English is amazing. I can't say one word in Korean. Now I can, after all my Korean shows. I can say
that's cool.
Thank you. I'm sorry. Hello.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
Thank you. And I'm sorry. I'm trying to learn in multiple languages because of what we've done to the world.
I gotta say, I mean, nobody will see this, but I gotta give you props for your background.
Oh, well, thank
now,
you.
Now you're moving.
Yeah. You're coming to the kitchen with me to get more coffee.
I'm coming into the kitchen with Katie.
Yeah.
Do you still have roommates?
I don't.
Oh, you what did you do? You got rid of the one you had?
No, it would just kind of happen that way. I had a roommate who was going to be here for 4 months from Sweden. Yeah. I went to Sweden on tour last year after my album came out.
Right.
So I met her there, and then she was looking to move to New York to try the New York thing, because she never had, because she's been married to a Swedish guy for 11 years. Okay. So with his full blessing, she came and moved in with me. It was supposed to be for 3-4 months probably, and then she was going to see how it went, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And then she was here for 3 weeks.
Oh, wow. She was she didn't like it?
No, the pandemic hit.
Oh, the pandemic hit.
And I was if I were you, I would certainly want to go back to Sweden. Now, I don't really feel that way, because Sweden has not handled it any better than us, and in a lot of ways worse than New York. Oh. I did. This is formerly my bedroom and is now my dining room. So it's been a major life upgrade for me to be living by myself in this.
That's good, because you were by yourself, but you were your place was under construction the last time.
It was
time.
Just I was never, motivated to move furniture the sure, way that I yeah. now yeah. It's one of my I'm I should try this over here. What else am I doing?
I actually cleared this desk that I'm doing this podcast on now, cleared it off. It's been cluttered for years, and I was what am I doing? And I still need to do more, but I props to your bookshelf.
Thank you.
So what has it been like for you? The last time I saw you in person, you were at my birthday party almost a year ago. February.
Yeah.
What's
my birthday's on Monday.
Oh, happy early birthday.
Thank you. I hope I get an impeachment.
That's
what I'm hoping for.
Do you think it's worth it now? Or is it the 2024 thing he can't run?
Somebody has to, if we can, people can, I've been reading a lot of Twitter, as are we all, I think. And he'll lose his pension. They can't name a library after him. Mm. No Secret Service protection if he's removed by impeachment. So yeah, I think it's worth it. And it's just worth it to be hey, no,
How do you feel somebody, because it just, I'll never forgive people for 2016, but how does it feel for you with people that have not necessarily Republicans and people in general for now after this past week's events, we got to get rid of them now. And, how do you feel about that?
This is not because I've been watching all this Korean TV. I've been thinking about this separately from it, but in Asian cultures, and I think specifically in China and not Korea, letting people save face is a big part of the culture. Mm. So And we don't do that here. We're like, if you do something wrong, everybody's going to know about it. And we're going to make sure that we tell people if they don't know. There's no way to like get out of an embarrassing situation without being like publicly ridiculed in most cases. So whatever gets him out of there, you know, but I mean, after the 20th, then my opinion changes. Like, I'm willing to let people save face now, but then once Biden's in there, like, these people, I mean, like Ted Cruz, he should have never been in the Senate. He's got to go. He has got to go. He is such a shit. Like, he just does the wrong thing all the time. It's like he's the worst opportunist. He's an opportunist, and he's bad at being an opportunist.
And he's Canadian. Mm-hmm. Not that that's a bad thing, but he's like, never mind.
I mean, in this case, I'm like, you guys need to come pick him up.
Yeah, it's just this 180, like Betsy DeVos resigning, the other lady. Yeah, it's just, it's like, we saw what you did. Like, you can't, you can't escape that.
We and know. Like, your daughters don't like you.
Yeah.
The president talked shit about your wife and you said nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, what, what do we want with you besides for you to leave?
Yeah, I used to do a bit about that. Like, your daughter hates you and you're fucking Canadian. Mm-hmm. Why are you even in the race? Yeah, that's when it was.
But I mean, the country's fucked up and it's been fucked up for so long that it's like, I'm kind of surprised it's taken this long for things to go really haywire. But
I think it's maybe like the pandemic has, I guess, shown everybody's true colors, and we kind of get to see. I mean, people that aren't, I think once you, I was talking to some friends last night, I was recording a show. And I think once you see that once you see the Matrix, you can't go back. Like, you can't, you see the code and like, you can't, there's no coming back from that. And you're constantly, unless you have your diversions, like video games, reading or whatever, like to get you away from it a little bit, then you'll go crazy. I don't know.
I mean, it's, well, the pandemic has exposed like a lot of infrastructure failure.
Yes. You know? Yeah.
Just, like, all the shit that we don't have that if we did, this would be going so differently. Mm-hmm. But also how many of our fellow Americans are sociopaths.
Right.
And it's a lot. It's like really a lot. And that's America, is we just have everything we want and fuck everybody,
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting from the pandemic.
Yeah. Like, I have relatives that are sick and it's just like not COVID related. And it's like, I want to see them. I want to see my parents. I haven't seen my parents in over a year now. And it's just kind of like, you know, I don't know. It's really, I think I'm definitely having the fatigue and stuff. What do they call it? Do they call it the pandemic fatigue or the
quarantine fatigue? I think
quarantine, whatever the fuck it is. Yeah. Like, I get, like, but I'm still going to do what I need to do as a citizen.
Totally. And it's also like, I'm sick of it. Yes. And I'm stir crazy and I have cabin fever and whatever. But like, at the end of the day, all I have to do is sit on my couch, which I am great at and enjoy in many different contexts. So we're not going to war, you know, like, I'm not a healthcare worker. Like, the best thing I can do for a healthcare worker is to stay my ass home. And that is one of my great abilities. So,
yeah. I'm kind of a homebody, and you hear the joke from a lot of our colleagues saying I was built for this. And, you know, I've been social distancing for years and all that stuff, but in America, in a first world country where we have all this cool shit like Netflix and video games and books and all this stuff you have access to online, you can still be functional. You can work remotely. I've been doing that for a whole year, almost a year now.
I was already doing that.
Yeah.
I just stopped going to a workspace.
Yeah. We have to go once or twice a week, which is, you know, it is what it is, but and I was just thinking to myself, like, I was talking to my parents recently. We had the conversation of, I'm still like auditioning for stuff. And if I actually book something, I will go, because I'm going
to the
office. You know, I'll go and get something that could help me get residuals and, you know, further my career and stuff like that. But
Well, and I think it's like, it's not, you know, never do anything, never go anywhere. Yeah. There are safe ways to like get together with people. And, you know, we are lucky to live in New York where we can get tests pretty yeah. easily without mm-hmm. symptoms. So, you know, it's possible to be like responsible about it. And, you know, right. without, I even have friends who traveled for Christmas that I know were super responsible about it. So,
yeah.
And that's just totally different from somebody.
Did you? Like, did you travel?
I did not. No, I stayed yeah. here.
What was your reasoning?
Not
killing your parents?
Yeah, not killing my parents. I mean, my mom is like, it's kind of scary how she's like, it's fine. It'll all be fine. She works in public health. And I think it's uh-huh. like, I think it's a false sense of security, honestly. So we argue about it a lot. But we had it out over Thanksgiving and I didn't go home for Thanksgiving. And then there was a spike. So I didn't uh-huh. hear a boo about Christmas.
Yeah. My dad told me.
I'm like, it's a date. Like, I'm, you know, it's important to me to be with my family when it makes sense to be.
Yes. But, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to like risk death. I'll risk death for the election, but not for Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah. So did you physically voted in November?
I was a poll worker.
Oh, wow. Good for you.
Thanks. Yeah,
good. That's
crazy. What's up. I mean,
it was
fine. It was actually light because everybody had already, I early voted and then I uh-huh. went and poll worked, which I, you know, cause it was like at a different precinct anyway. So I would have had to get an absentee ballot. Uh-huh. And, the day of was like super light. There were lines for like 5 minutes at a time, like maybe six times throughout the day.
Okay. Yeah.
There were a lot of new poll workers too. So
okay. My voting experience was very unceremonious. I filled it out. And I just dropped it in a box
mm-hmm.
somewhere in Jersey. And I was like, I hope this makes it.
Yeah. Yeah. That was another thing that I was like, no, I'm going to do the real one where I get the paper and I get to like, you didn't live in New York when we had the old voting machines, did you?
No, I never lived in New York. I'm Jersey all the way.
Okay.
We'd normally go to the firehouse up the street uh-huh. and just go in the booth and hit the, you know.
Yeah. The voting machines used to be these like giant iron things and you would like switch and then you would pull a lever when you were done. And it was like yeah. the most satisfying, like you were like, yeah, I am voting. And it's loud and heavy.
Yeah.
Like, and now it's just like a Scantron. You know,
but. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a good thing. I mean, I hope it continues to galvanize people like what happened, you know, last November and then this past week that people realize finally, hopefully that.
Well, let me tell you, I had several roles that day. So I was yeah. like at the actual table, like checking people in. And then I also, then the coordinator noticed that I knew what I was doing kind of. And she was like, all right, she like gave me three other jobs. So uh-huh. she sent me down to the lobby. I think it was just to get a break. She sent me down to the lobby to like welcome people in. So I was talking to the girl down there and there was a school safety officer there. And I left. And then when I came back, the other girl that I was with was like, were you here when I asked if she was voting? And she said, no, I'm from a family that doesn't vote. Like my family just doesn't vote. Huh. And I was like, you're a black police officer in New York City. And your family doesn't, like, I don't understand. I'm from a family that doesn't vote. That's still, I still think about it like once a week. Yeah. I'm like, what does that mean? That
like, dude, you're a public servant.
What is it about voting?
Yeah, that's weird.
That as a family, we don't do it. And it's like, especially now, I'm like, I'm still confused.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't there, obviously. I thought, but she was like, were you here? And I was like, if I had been here, we would have had a conversation. Like, I would have had a lot of questions.
Yeah, yeah. What was it like? Was it mainly, were you one of the youngest workers there?
No, I worked with an 18-year-old who thought I was 25, so I'll be taking that with me to my grave.
And you
have my mask on, but it was great. It was so great. I was like, I love you. Her name's Pia. Hi, Pia. No, I wasn't the youngest, but there were most of the people were older than me.
Yeah, because every time that I vote, it seems like it's the elderly people that are doing it.
I mean, they pay you.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like a little extra pocket money. I think it's a very popular senior activity.
How long did you do? How long were you there?
I got there at 5 and left at like 10:30.
5 a.m.?
Yep. Or
to 10:30 at night?
Yep.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Whew.
And that's the deal. That's what it is. Like, it has to be the same people at the beginning of the day, at the end of the day, because of the like chain of custody, you know?
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's really cool. You're the second person that I've talked to that did that. And that's like in my age group. So
yeah,
that's good. It's more people are doing that.
I mean, one of the guys I sat with at the table, I live in Queens and there are, and in New York, I don't know how they do it in New Jersey, but everybody works in bipartisan teams in New York. So there's two people at every station, but they just don't have enough Republicans. So there were people who were like, I have R on my badge, but I want everybody to know that I am not an R. And I was like, there are some real ones here and they're weird.
Yeah.
But I mean, you can tell who is and who isn't.
Yeah. It's like, you kind of got it. You have to pick a side now. Mm-hmm. And it's no hiding from that.
It's always been like that.
Yeah.
I found my dad sent me a bunch of my like old school papers. It was like a vocab test from the second grade where I'm like shitting on Republicans in French.
I could see you doing that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm from Tacoma Park, you know? So,
yeah, you are
I was living, indoctrinated.
You're the living embodiment of Julia Stiles in 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yeah, true.
And all the good things, not that. Thank you. I don't look at that as a dig.
No, me neither.
Can you believe that movie's like over 20 years old?
I can, only because of the wardrobe.
1999.
Man, it's really like, and I was like, jeans are perfect. We finally found the final form of jeans. They will never change. And thankfully I was wrong.
the real Kat Stratford. Maybe that's the title of this. I'll scribble that down.
She's one of my celeb lookalikes, actually.
I could see it a little bit, but definitely the personality.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why black dudes liked her. Probably. She was in all those. She was in all those movies.
She could dance too.
Yeah, she was. She was.
I can't dance, but I can count eight. So I'm ahead of the game.
Did you also get into Save the Last Dance?
I saw it, but I didn't like it.
What?
Yeah. I think I saw it late. I didn't see it in theaters.
I remember taking.
But I've seen every dance movie, and I just don't think that's like high up there. Like, You Got Served is my favorite, but I fast forward through the acting.
Oh, that's.
And then if
hilarious.
Somebody's over, I'll be like, "That's Kevin Federline," you know.
I just know. I know Brandon. Who did that episode with them? Medium Popcorn. Brandon and Brandon Collins and Justin Brown. They did a review of that movie, and they shitted on it so hard. But that, like, I mean, Save the Last Dance. I remember seeing it in the theaters. I took this girl I was seeing at the time, and I think I was more excited to see it than she was. I mean, she liked it, but I was like, we got to see this. Yeah, I love that movie. Those 90s teen movies were, there were some of the good ones.
Now, I mean, 10 Things I Hate About You is like, it's so good because it's, you know, lifted from Shakespeare. But it's so good. And like the funny parts are so funny.
Mm-hmm. It still resonates. I think I had a buddy that he went to that massive school
that school was crazy. I didn't know it was like, I couldn't believe it was a real school.
Yeah. He went to that school and I have to ask him because he's from that area, but I think he just knows of that place and he's been around it, whatever. So how do you feel about everything that went down last week? We're obviously talking about the Capitol,
the coup.
The coup. Yeah.
I mean, you know, did you see that meme that's from Anchorman? And it's like, well, that escalated very slowly over 4 years.
No, like, I didn't see that.
I mean, it just got totally out of control. Just like anyone who was paying attention said it would.
Like, how did you feel? Because, you know, like, I mean, there were guys that were trying to kidnap the.
I definitely think I'm like actually still processing how much worse it almost was.
Mm-hmm.
Like the police were so understaffed, but they did manage to keep them out of the chamber long enough to get everybody out of there.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine what it would have been like if they had come face to face with, you know, AOC or Pelosi or.
Oh, my God.
Kamala. Yeah. Like, I think we'd be having a very different experience.
Yeah. I don't know, like people should have seen this coming with the, you know, the plot to kidnap the mayor of Michigan.
Yeah.
the Wisconsin raid this past year. Just a whole lot of other things, but it's always been this apologist side to say these are why the reason why those people wanted to kidnap the governor was because they're poor. And yeah, like, what the fuck? Like, what are we doing here?
Well, I don't know. I mean, this was pretty, these people were pretty, hey, we're white supremacists, you know? Mm-hmm. So, which is like, I don't want to thank them, but I am like, okay, you're being honest about it. And now people who want to like sympathize with you have to build that into their argument for you.
Yeah.
But that's what it's been, is just like undercover, you know, just enabling white supremacy and just not recognizing it as that.
It
ties back into the sociopathy that I was talking about with the pandemic that we're seeing with that. Like, people just do not care about other people.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I have fatigue, but it's like, well, other people are dying.
Yeah. One of my bosses is going on vacation February 1st to the Caribbean. And I'm like, we're not talking, like, I'll accept your calendar invite, but we are not discussing your vacation. And if I see you on Instagram, I will.
That's kind of become the thing now, to like, you see people on Instagram and some like people we know, and it's like, what the fuck are you doing? Why are you?
But I mean, the people we know, Chris, they are not well. Like, they really can't survive without external validation. I mean, you know, we know somebody who was at the coup.
We do. Shit. She was on the pod. She was on the podcast. She was on the show.
Well, we all like used to know her better. Like,
yeah,
I know you're not a name names type of podcast, and I don't want to do that because she's like Voldemort, you know.
Yeah,
like, it just feeds her energy.
It's been brewing for a while. Like, I know, you know, I worked with her boyfriend. Her boyfriend was a booker and everything like that. And it's just, you never know these people. You say, oh yeah, I'll do your show, and then it's like, but it's crazy because like,
but that's also like that is. None of this has changed. Like, it's just people are more out about it. But the comedy world has always been like this. There's a lot of racism, misogyny. Like,
oh yeah,
there's a ripe, you know, ground to like recruit for Trumpism from comedy.
I was having the conversation with Neil Charles and Jim Search last night. We recorded an episode, and we're just talking about like coming up in the open mic scene. It's obviously going to be different for you as a woman, but like that open mic scene in New York. I mean, I know you started in the Bay Area, right?
Yeah.
I know here in New York, it was like this seedy cesspool of,
it was like, I don't know how many times I've heard people say the N-word, and it was all in New York. I never heard
it. Oh, wow. I never even heard that. Wow. I guess because they did it when people like me weren't there.
I mean, no, they it wasn't always. Sometimes there were, you know. Mm. After somebody got punched for it, it definitely dropped off.
I remember hearing something about that. Yeah, that was big on Facebook.
But it was like a lot of guys. I mean, a lot of people are drawn to comedy because of that, because they're like, I could say whatever I want. Nobody can stop me. And it's like, nobody's stopping you.
but it's like, it's an art to saying what you want, and there's craft. I mean,
well, it's just like, you know, you want to. The whole, like, they don't want me, I'm not allowed to say it. They're trying to stop me from free speech. Like, I'm not allowed to say it. Well, I'm going to say it. And I'm like, you can say it on stage because you aren't allowed to say it. Mm-hmm. You are allowed to say it. I don't understand where this came from.
Right.
You're being repressed, you know?
Yeah. It's not like that. That's not a joke. Like, this shit's not funny. And it's like,
I think it's, there are parallels to being, you know, a woman in comedy versus a person of color in comedy. Mm-hmm. And it's this, basically, like, people will do some fucking inappropriate joke and all the heads in the room will swivel towards you to see.
Yeah. Okay. To see what you say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, cause even when Obama was in office, it was still like in the comedy community, there's still bullshit. I remember just like maybe 5 to 7 years ago, just getting text messages from my comedian friends who were black. Like, yo, did you hear that podcast? Did you hear what this dude said? Or did you hear what this guy said on Facebook that was kind of racist? And it's like, well, I mean, it's not much of a surprise. And then you start to really see these heel turns that people are making. And it's like, well, I don't want to be involved with that person anymore.
Right. I'm thankful for the pandemic for that, because it's like, there's no show, like they can't give me stage time or anything, you know? So I will cut ties. I've cut ties with people for way less than going to the Who.
Well, good for you. But like, what is, as a white woman, how do you
Pinot Grigio? No, sorry.
How do you feel about like some of your counterparts, the way that they're, you know, I've seen like a lot of true colors being revealed in this stuff. It's like not like people are wearing Klan hoods, but it's just like some of their values are just being exposed. And it's like, ooh, I didn't know that about you.
I mean,
even the people that are supposed to be liberal.
Right.
That are supposed to be woke.
You know, that's like the big secret of the left, is that there is a ton of racism and misogyny, and we just haven't addressed it because like the right's always been so much worse, but it's a real problem. And I mean, in terms of my counterparts, I have a slogan that is a white woman anywhere is an embarrassment to white women everywhere. Like,
oh, wow. And,
you know, okay. Self-included, I'm not perfect. I do like wrong shit all the time. I've been corrected. But we haven't been checked in the way that we should be. And it's in the way that we need to check each other. You know,
you haven't been checked until Bill Burr said it on SNL.
I've been ahead of him for quite some time.
No, that was just a joke.
That didn't bother me. I thought that was funny, you know, and he's also, that's like year old material. It wasn't like he wrote it, you know, he wrote it before the summer, before.
George okay. And all that. Yeah. 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 You know, Do you just like shake your head at it, or do you just like write those people off?
It depends on what the offense is. And I mean, for the coup example, I wrote her off, unfriended her, unfollowed her. I'd already done that because, you know, she made a racist video about coronavirus back in like April.
Oh, wow.
It was like her and every fucking hack that there is. Like, if you had told me, like given me just blind, who would participate in a racist song video about coronavirus, I would have gotten like 90% correct.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I think I did see that. Yeah.
I'm sure. It's been a few days going around.
Yeah. They're, because now it's like now everybody's just kind of, not everybody, but folks on other comics on Twitter are just like, did you see this? And I was like, yeah, we've seen that shit before.
Right. I mean, I'm currently a bigger fan of group chats and DMs because like calling people out publicly, it just depends. It just depends. Like it could work, but it really depends on like whether they're receptive to the feedback.
Yeah.
Like there's something going on this week about somebody like not pretending to be Latina, but trying to like access spaces as a Latina. I'll send you screenshots.
Oh shit. So it's more than Hilaria Baldwin.
I mean, it's a follow on to that. Like, this person did a parody video of her, and then somebody, well, I mean, I've gotten quite a few messages about it, but okay, I mean, in terms of, I don't think it's quite as egregious as Hilaria, because she never claimed to be from there.
Okay.
But definitely, like, I'm practically Latina. Can I do your show? Like, that's not, practically Latina is not, you know.
Yeah, it's so.
You're not an oppressed anything.
Yeah, that's.
I mean, it's I you know, and I think the person is like, I understand that this is not correct.
Mm-hmm.
However, I speak Spanish so well, that's, you know. So I don't know. I mean, but that's like the part. The role of society is like we have to keep each other in check, and when we don't do that, things get bad.
Yeah. It's just this like it's something that kind of it's. I don't know if it's still. If it fascinates me, it's interesting to see like comedy going one way. Like you see this person, this white person who's doing comedy and things don't work out. So then it's automatically they make that shift and start going right. And it's just like this right wing thing. And then their numbers start going up. They get the followers and it's just like, okay, well that's what that person is. But it's like, are they, what's worse, no, you know what? It's just as bad as if you know what you're doing, like you know you're like consciously making this decision to do that. I think they're equally bad, but
well, I think especially for, you know, comics on the right, A, they're not funny.
Right.
Like they're all 201 absolutely talentless. Mm-hmm. But it's also like people come to comedy for so many different reasons. Like I haven't done a single Zoom show or live show since lockdown started.
I haven't either.
And I don't, you know, it's I miss it. I miss performing, but I'm not like, oh my God, my part of my identity is gone. And I think that is, that's where they're coming from. Is like, they're so desperate for validation from other people instead of like turning inward and working on themselves that they'll follow that attention wherever they can get it. Most easily.
Yeah. Like it's so weird. Cause you see people in person, like you see people like in real life at a party or just some type of function. And it's just like, hey, how's it going? And then on Instagram, it's like, oh, I'm a monster.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa, okay. All right. This is some different shit. And it's like, and I always say this, the way that I do stand up, it's just kind of like,
it's my whole like, thing is
my thing is like, it's like, there's no real artifice. It's just like, maybe it's maybe like a heightened version of who I am. It is. Yeah,
same here. Mm-hmm. If you don't like my stand up, you don't like me.
Exactly. And that's the thing, like hard pass in stores, wherever you download.
Yep.
And buy me stream.
Please buy it.
Yeah. Buy music. It's there. Cause
it is on Spotify, but they are thieves and I hate them. So
did you do all the sound exchange stuff? Cause I'm just,
I did it. And that is the only way to get any money is to register with sound exchange. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm doing.
I'll leave the name out, but I worked with a PR company who was supposed to submit the album to
Sirius.
Yeah. And it didn't get done.
Oh,
and like, shit. I filled out a spreadsheet, you know, I did it, but it's like, I know I've submitted to XM before just one track, but I got enough, you know, texts of people listening to me on their car radios or whatever that I was like, all right, this is not in here.
Yeah.
So my label had to resend it, which they did. And now I'm finally starting to get some income, but it wasn't playing until September this year.
Yeah. Cause if the label, I mean, you pay, the label's taking a cut. They gotta.
Yeah. And that's where they're getting most of the money. So I don't want to be a drain on them, you know,
they gotta do the work.
Grateful that they did this with me. Like I gotta give them some, I probably would like come out of pocket to give them money if it wasn't.
Yeah. But the next one,
you finally making money.
The next one that you do in 2027, you have you.
Sounds about right. I think that might be one of it.
Every time somebody says like a late date that we can get back to performing and doing what we do is like, mm-hmm. Every time somebody gives me a later date, I'm like, that sounds about right. Yeah, it always sounds. It's like, yep, okay, that'll work.
Yeah.
On your own. Do it on your own. Do it on your.
Do the album.
Yeah.
No, not. I would work with the label again. Yes.
You don't want all the money to be yours?
I have a great deal. It's 90-10.
Okay. Okay.
So there's no downside.
You're working with friends. You're not.
Well, that's their standard contract. I'm not the only comic that they work with.
Okay.
That's their standard deal.
Okay. That's good. That's good. So, as long as, you know, you're a smart lady. So I'm not.
Yeah, thank you.
Not worried.
Listen, it's pretty easy to screw me over in business. I have a tendency to just lie down. I hate negotiating. Yeah. I like chose well.
Yeah. We just took
And I'm lucky to know these people.
We just diverged off the path, but like, it's definitely like, if you don't like our stand-up, you don't like us.
Yeah.
Cause it's an inherent that, it's who we are. So to see people make the, and I think, and I'll always say, yes, there's people that do observational comedy that are fucking incredible. It's a taste thing for me. And when I see it in other people, it's like, oh, I like that. This person is talking about who they are. When that person gets off stage, I have an idea of who that person is,
mm-hmm.
You know, and that's just kind of like you want to give them something. At like the experience, I always refer to that, even though he got canceled a little bit and rehabilitated himself, Michael Vick, when he was at the height of his fame, there was this Nike commercial, I think, called the Michael Vick Experience, where this kid gets on a roller coaster type thing rig. And it's like, he's actually in the playing as Michael Vick, mm-hmm. whatever. But it was the Michael Vick experience. And, you know, when you do your, when you do stand up, it's like, oh, I want to give them Chris Lambert. I want to give them, you know, Katie Compa.
Yep, whatever, like condensed.
Yeah, like it all
extra strong.
Yeah. You can't hear my horrible downstairs neighbor playing music, can you?
No.
Okay, good. I don't know what the fuck it is. It's just too much. It's too much bass. And I'm not going to say anything to him because I don't want to, like, I don't know what will happen. Because I'm like this big teddy bear. But it's also like I have claws.
Right.
So I don't want them to come out on this guy. And I don't want to ring in the new year, like almost murdering this dude. And I don't want him to murder me. So,
yeah, I know. I mean, it's really like neighbor wars are, everything's very heightened because we're all home all the time.
Have you had any?
Not lately, but I have new neighbors upstairs and they're pretty loud. One of them like stomps around and I'm really like, I don't understand who walks like that? Like,
yeah.
Why are you announcing there's two rooms in the apartment. I have the same one, you know? I also heard them having sex last week, which made me very bitter because I'm like, oh, you have somebody in your ass to have sex with. That must be nice. Like, it was my fault for staying up too late.
That's funny. That's a bit.
Oh yeah. When I come back, I'm going to have so much to talk about.
are you writing stuff? Are you writing?
No,
stuff
I'm not.
Down?
I mean, I do morning pages every day, but there's not really, I'm not writing down. Yeah. You know, I'll write a bit I'll write down an idea for a bit. I should say like once a week.
But yeah.
I'm not
expanding
on them. I'm not like,
yeah, it's stuff.
Not refining them.
Yeah. Cause I think when people come back, like, I think I'll be rusty, but I think I'll be okay. I'm not really worried.
Everyone's going to be rusty. And I am not like, no one should do Zoom shows. Like, I think Zoom shows are, they're different. They're not stand up. That's my biggest thing about it. It's like, you know, the things that you get that I get from stand up, I love talking to strangers. It's like my favorite thing in the world, talk to strangers, but I need to, you know, in real time. And I need that like real time feedback, like a delayed laugh doesn't sound fun. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not what I want out of it. So
are you still doing your podcasts at all?
No.
I
quit like literally everything.
Really?
Yeah. I've been working and that's really about it. I watch my Netflix and I do my like little bullshit writing in the morning. Mm-hmm. I listen to audiobooks a lot. But yeah, I mean, in terms of like my creative process, I'm like very, very far removed from it. And I don't know what it's going to be like to get back there, but you know, I didn't even start comedy until I was 27. So I've done this before and I know I can like get back to a creative place having, you know.
Oh, that's 2 years before me. I think we did talk about that before, like late 20. I was 29. So we're grown up.
Which like I know. And it's totally different to come in as a grown up.
Yeah, it is.
You're so, it's so much harder to manipulate you and like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're less desperate for the approval. So.
Right. That's it's true. Like you kind of have like a lived experience that you're just kind of.
And
like,
you're like, I don't know, I'm going to try this, but I don't really expect it to work out.
Was it like
21-year-olds are like, I'm going to be a star. And some of them are right, but most of them are annoying.
Yeah. Yeah, so this definitely was it for you. Maybe we talked about this years ago when you were on like the first time, but was it something like on the precipice of becoming turning 30 or that desire to get on stage?
Was that why I started?
Yeah.
No, I just, I'm sure we have talked about this too, but I'll just recap it. So, like my parents got cable in like 88 or 89 during the stand-up boom.
Okay.
And, you know, my parents both worked, so I watched a lot of TV, despite the rules. And there was so much stand-up on, and I was like, what is this? It's so amazing. And like Elaine Boozler had like, I think three specials during that time that I now own. And I was like, this is so amazing. Like, she is saying stuff that's true and people are like on board with it. But I never thought it was a job. So I, you know, went to be like a normal grown up. And then eventually I went to a stand up festival with my mom. Mm-hmm. And when I left, and I would go see stand up, you know, in the intervening years, I went
was
to
that, was that was that Aspen?
Yes.
And you-
so it was like Michelle Buteau was there. John. This is like a consequence of the pandemic. I can't remember like Very famous people's names. John Oliver was there.
Yes, yeah.
I can't remember 40% of names. That's like about the right number. Josh Gondelman had a tweet about it where it's just like, I can't remember words. I can't remember people. Anyway, Shane Moss, John Fish. Mm-hmm. So it was like all these people who like now are kind of my peers, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I did not know them and would never have spoken to them. And after that, I was like, and I'd been saying that every time I would like leave a comedy club, I'd be like, I'm funny. I could do that. And whoever I was with would be like, uh-huh. But my mom was with me this time and she was like, you know, I think you could, like, if you, she's like, why don't you take a class? And I was like, okay. So I Googled it at the Denver airport. And then when I got back, I took a class and then I thought it would be like, I'd take the class, I would bomb and I would slink away with my tail between my legs and work in an office. I did not think ever that I would record an album, you know?
Yeah. That's a, it's an amazing thing. It's, I think the arts, I'm a really big proponent of it. That's right, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because like it's because of what...
Some of my vocab is still here. That one's still in...
You know, I don't know if this is a thing, and we'll get back to the arts, but I don't know if you've had this, like, of getting older where it's like, now I don't mind having closed caption on.
Oh, I have it on, like, always.
How what age did you start feeling comfortable with that?
I don't remember, like long ago.
Okay, because for me, it's like, because for quite some time, it's been like, I don't know if they mixed this right. You know, like, did they mix this right? Because you can't.
It's like an attention thing for me. Like because I'm on my phone so much, I often will like miss out. Like, what did they say? And then the caption's on. I don't have to rewind it. But I've had roommates who are like, can you turn off the captioning? And I'm like, okay.
Hey, old lady, turn the fucking captions off.
Yeah.
I think maybe it settled in for me like last month when I bought Tenet on Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was saying, like the critics and people online were just saying like, you know, the sound's really bad and you can't really hear the dialogue. And I watched DVDs and Blu-rays on my PlayStation. And I have bought like these headphones for this system.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what? I'm just going to experience this. And I'm turning the captions on. And I was like, I kind of like this.
Yeah.
And I think I'm good. I'm good with this. And then sometimes it is the audio's bad or the actors are, you know, they're whispering and you can't really hear everything they're saying.
Yeah.
So it's like, I've settled into that.
Mm-hmm. I also like, I don't know, when I read books, even my attention span is shot. So I'll like tune out in the middle of, I'm reading a paragraph and then I'll be thinking about something else, but my eyes are still moving. It's very weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's like that just being in this phone generation where like I'm constantly catching myself like being on my phone, on my computer, which is really alarming.
I just got an iPhone. I've had an iPhone for
I saw I got an iMessage from you for the first time.
I had this tweet about I put up a tweet a couple, maybe like a month ago, saying I had bought this in like November.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, I do like this. I had an Android for so many years, since 2014. Before that, it was BlackBerry. And I had no problem with it. And I was thinking maybe I'll get an iPhone just to switch things up. Maybe when my parents learn FaceTime, we could do that. But I said, oh, my God, are people... I was like, did you guys judge me because my text bubbles were green? And some people... Like, I had the meme of...
A little bit.
I had the Will Smith meme of, like, when he's like, tell the truth, you know. What's the football concussion movie?
Right, right.
And some people were like, but it is like, because I always thought it was something that I was trying to like fight against, where it was like, you know, like this thing, like, oh, it's elitism with the fucking iPhone. But it is,
that's valid.
Yeah, but they're all fucking companies that are.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, which fucking corporate behemoth do you want to swear your fucking allegiance to? Like, I'm the one that has iMessage.
Yeah. And it's definitely like, cause I noticed like with video games, like there's like Sony and Xbox with the consoles and stuff. And I you can get tied into that, but if they only make certain exclusive games, then Sony to me is the best and whatever. But what was I, where was I going with that? It's a good phone. Like, I like it.
Yeah,
I do like it.
And I just got a new one the other day.
What'd you get? The Pro Max?
I got the Mini.
You're such a girl.
Oh, please. Are you kidding? I am so happy with it. I finally am not like breaking my pinky to hold it. Ugh,
oh, so you, sick. So you, it suits you. So you got the 12 yeah. Mini?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I had a, what did I have? A 10X, a 10R, XR.
I got the Pro Max.
Yeah.
The 12. It's, I
mean, do. If you have, you know, man hands, it's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just don't, I can't.
It's good, but one thing it does, it'll track your how much, like it's a use, but you use your phone 6 hours a day. I was like, damn. Mm-hmm.
I know.
And it, mine
yesterday,
went,
I have two apps for it. And yesterday, one was like, you know, you should put your phone down.
Put your like, phone down.
I can't. Can't yet. It's not bedtime.
Yeah, that is a thing. I want to go back to this because I think it's important. Like, I think, you know, the arts. Like, you know, with your with stand up making you evolve into the kind of person that you are, who would put out a stand up album. It's one of those things where it makes you better, like a better person. It makes you more well-rounded. And it's not. And I'm just a proponent of proponent of it because of what it's done for me. Like, I'm like a shy kid. I was a shy kid, but I was very, you know, there were times when you have to step up to the plate in life. I think with like Cobra Kai coming back out with karate, I took karate, taekwondo and stuff like that. And it helped me with discipline and helped me. There were moments where I had to step up, and I'm not a karate guy now, but it's just sort of like one of those things where
I think it should be like mandatory for kids to take karate to be able to like did defend you, themselves. And
yeah. Did you do I it when you were
no.
a kid?
No. And I'm still like, I don't understand how anyone can have a girl child and not teach them self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's crazy. I mean, I think it's just, it's more like everything, all the fucked up things about us are so much more evident now because we all have video cameras on us at all times.
Yeah. Right.
So we have that, you know, somebody's holding up the mirror to us all the time. And I think that's like why this is all so tumultuous, because it's like, we can't take looking in the mirror and seeing how like racist and psychotic we are.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that's just a growing pain, I think.
Yeah. And I think one, like that was something that like instilled discipline. I had it from my mm-hmm. parents, but it was like, you know, you to make, get these achievements and you
it's a different discipline than
yeah.
what you get from your parents too.
Yeah. Cause like I was thinking about Cobra Kai, and it's I really love it. I it's a blast from the past, but
it is. I have some thoughts. Go ahead, finish your sentence.
I will say it's a blast from the past. Karate Kid and what made me want to take karate. My parents, you know, put me in. I got my black belt and all that stuff, and it is good. But the show, the season three was just kind of like. I was kind of like, somebody should just get a gun.
Right.
This would all be over. But it's just when you're in that world, I mean, it's definitely interesting, the world of the show. I'm kind of wondering, is it wearing a little thin? But then we get immersed into all these crazy science fiction worlds when we watch certain shows and we come out of that. But I like the fact that, you know, Daniel's daughter, the daughter is like taking up the mantle in some regard, and it's a fun show, but give me your thoughts.
The nostalgia is like overwhelming. So I like it despite all the things I don't like about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm going to watch the new season only because the finale of season two was like super violent. Like I could barely stand
it. It was very violent. Yeah.
But the biggest thing for me is, so first of all, I think Johnny is like such a shitbag, like, and he's constantly like hot chicks, girls, like, and I'm like, there's no reckoning for that. Like,
you don't think he's making,
no,
a
he
turn?
Starts going out with the kid's mom. And I'm like, she is so much hotter than him. And there is no explanation for why she would ever give him a second look besides being like, there's a fucking creepy guy talking to my son.
If you watch season three, I mean, you'll see.
Do I have to wait for season three?
It's out now.
I know. I'm saying I don't want to watch it. I don't want to like do that with my time. There's so many things to watch. Okay. But more so than that, like that doesn't bother me. I get it.
Okay.
That's the character. But Daniel having a car dealership bothers the fuck out of me.
Why?
Because I do not think that that is what Miyagi would want for him. Like, I feel like I was his high school English teacher and I thought he was going to like become like a civil rights lawyer or something, and now he owns a fucking car dealership. Are you kidding me?
You
like,
you are from Tacoma Park.
Yes, yes. But I'm also from the 80s. And like,
yeah, yeah.
If you'd written like a sequel to The Karate Kid then, like up to now, I don't think that he would own a car dealership where he kicks the competition, you know?
I think he's moving away. I think, without spoiling anything, I think that in the world of the show, what happens at the end of season three is like Miyagi would have been proud.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny. I was watching this morning because I was watching that, and I'm doing a, I don't know when this will go up, but I'm gonna be reviewing it on Medium Popcorn in a couple days. So I was like doing my little background, you know, prepping for research and all that stuff, and Pat Morita, who played Mr. Miyagi, he was just talking about his experience. It's like a YouTube clip. And it's like that role is just so iconic. Like that. I remember years ago, I was still living in Chicago. So I might have been about 20. I was in my early to mid 20s. And I just happened to watch that movie. I hadn't seen it since I was a kid. And I'm watching it at the end. I was like tearing up. I was like,
God, yeah, man. It's super emotional. It really is. I mean, that was, and the fact that they use clips in Cobra Kai, it just blows my mind that we're all still around to like tell this same story again. Did you see the new Karate Kid?
Which one was that?
With Jaden Smith.
Oh, with Jaden. You know, so that one, I did like it.
I loved it. I thought it was so good.
The fights in that. This shit that they're doing on Cobra Kai has nothing on that. Like that was more brutal. Though that was really brutal. The season two finale, like it was like, oh shit, they're going there. They fight into this kind of world of absurdity by the end of season three. It's like you're in a where's the fucking, you know, me of all people, where are the fucking cops?
Yeah.
Where's the teachers?
But where's school safety? Though, yeah, for like, real?
What the fuck like, is going on? Yeah. There's no vice principal, you know. But it's sort of. But you know, you just there's suspension of disbelief. But I think you are kind of speaking to something where it's like, yeah, maybe. But I think at the end of if you give it a shot,
I will consider it.
You know, I'm not. You know,
Justy Dodge has been. She watches it, and
who does?
Justy Dodge.
Okay, yeah.
She was the person that got me to watch the first two seasons, and she's now working on season three. So
it's a quick binge. It's really easy because I know it was on because it started on YouTube, and I watched the first couple episodes, but then you had to subscribe, and I was like, I'm not subscribing to that shit.
Yeah,
it looks good, but it's just like I'm not paying.
No, like another thing to pay for? No.
Yeah. And now I have all of them, I think.
I do too. I have CBS, which I'm like, I only got it for Picard, which I didn't like.
Okay.
But now I'm watching Discovery, which I also don't like. however, have I seen every episode? I have. So, you know.
That's hilarious. TV stuff, like I binged that that was like New Year's Day. So like all throughout the day, I'll watch that. Now I'm into the Selena series.
I probably won't be watching that.
No.
There's so many things to watch. It's like and I've been saying that for years. It's like I've still never seen The Wire because there's so many things to watch.
The Wire. I went back to The Sopranos and I rewatched that. Like my listeners know, I had like an audition that said you had to have a thick Long Island accent, and I just they said think Sopranos, and so I was like, oh, let me just watch.
That's all in Jersey.
yeah, and I know those places. I was like, I know that Hooters. I know where they went. I know this place. I know because living here for so long, you know, but it's like that show was, it was an incredible show.
It really was. It really was.
Because it's like when you watch it when you're 19, the show premiered in 1999. Mm-hmm. And I liked it. I watched it as it progressed. But, you know, you pick up on more things now that you're in 40, and it's just like, okay, like, and just, I just fell in love with James Gandolfini. Like,
yeah, he's amazing in it.
And like me being a big dude, like it's so funny. Every time that he ate, I wanted to eat. And he was eating every episode. He was eating every episode.
Yeah, and the food's so good. Oh, yeah. And, you know, I have Italian family, so it's like, it does, my mouth is watering now.
I bought some gabagool on New Year's Eve. I was trying not to be, like, I had Adrian Appalucci on. I was telling her, I was like, yeah, I was trying to, I think I want to get some gabagool, but would they be racist to me if I wanted to get some? But
depends on if they're racist.
Yeah, what place would, like, in a real authentic place? But we've got this, there's a grocery store chain called Uncle Giuseppe's.
Oh.
They have one here, like, in Ramsey, like, 20 minutes north of me. Mm-hmm. And they got one in like Long Island, but their market is fantastic. It's an expensive ass grocery store, but the food is good.
Yeah.
And I asked, do you have, can I get some Capicola? Cause I was trying to, I didn't mm-hmm. want to say gabagool.
Yeah.
And no, the guy was like, the guy was like, what? I was like, some gabagool, some Capicola. And he was like, okay, yeah, we just got the sweet kind. I was like, okay. I don't know. Just give me what Tony Soprano.
Yeah.
I didn't want to say that, you know, like a fucking tourist.
One of my friends in college was from Westchester, and she one day was, she looked at me and she's like, do you like calamari? And I was like, what? And she goes, calamari. Like, oh.
Yeah. Because they say, what do they say? Like prosciutto. They say prosciutto.
Yeah. Prosciutto. Yeah.
And
it's an American thing. Like if you said that in front of an Italian, they'd be like, huh?
Yeah. And manicotti, they say manigot.
Manigot. Yeah.
So it's like, well, you just don't want it. Cause it's the same thing if you're ordering Mexican food and you roll your R's and shit like an asshole, mm-hmm. like that's, I don't want to be that dude. So yeah. Like, you just want to be like, I want to be myself ordering the cultural shit, you know what I
There's
mean?
There's a place in LA. Last time I was in LA, I went to this. It's like a juice bar, and it's called La Palapa. And I just did it. I just did the Nicaragua thing. But like, in my soul, I cannot, like, when I say La Palapa, I want to kill myself. It is really a struggle. And now I'm like, you know, I do like 8 languages on Duolingo, so now I'm like an asshole in several languages. Like, I got to really watch where I'm ordering food from.
Yeah, it's just like, when I worked at a theater camp and stuff, and mm-hmm. we had one of the aides, her name that they worked, she worked with one of the, like, the kids that have like autism, they have like an inclusion for kids and stuff.
Yeah.
And her name was Marisol. Mm-hmm. And everybody would call her Marisol.
Mm-hmm.
Marisol. And like, yeah. I didn't want to be like, I wanted to be like, yo, Marisol, you know, like, I didn't want to be like an asshole, like, Marisol, could you come, you know, it's just, I don't know.
I mean, and I think with names, like a person's name, I do think it's like,
yeah,
kind of appropriate, but most of them are like, don't fucking do that. It's fine if you say Marisol, you know?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. Some people are cool about it, but you just want to give, you just want to do the work to, especially mm-hmm. like you said, a person's name. You want to say their name right. You want to, you know, give them the respect that they deserve. That's all. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's funny. Well, what else? Like, you have like all the streaming apps. We'll close with stuff. Let's close it out with like stuff that you enjoyed last year, like TV wise. Every guest always asks, like, what are you watching? What did you like? You know,
I never can answer this question. I always feel on the spot whenever somebody's like, what's your favorite show? What are you watching right now? Even what am I watching right now is like hard. But I am watching the one right now that I'm like waiting for new episodes of, which I think there's a new one up today, is it's called The Uncanny Counter, and it is Korean, and it is about hunting demons. But it's like they get superpowers. Anything with superpowers, I'm like, I'm in. I'm gonna watch this.
You're a sci-fi girl, right? Yeah,
yes.
You are kind of like a
like big time. like more than I would like to admit. I watched all of Star Trek Voyager.
Okay.
Early on in the quarantine.
And you're not you before quarantine, you never dated like a nerd or any other?
Oh, I dated a nerd.
Okay. Just one nerd?
A couple nerds, but one was like significantly nerdier than the rest.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Guys would like you. I mean,
guys like me.
No, we do. We like
guys like me. I just don't like them most of the time.
That's what it is. Yeah. Catch trap.
Working on it with my therapist.
Yeah. No, that's good. Because I was thinking, like, were you ever into like New Mutants, that movie that they, the X-Men movie that came out?
No, I like those kind of things that have been around forever. They're mm-hmm. like, sometimes I just won't interact with them. Like, I did see the X-Men movies, but I'm really like very loyal to the cartoon.
Okay.
That's my basis, you know? So gotcha. Everything that like happens in a movie, I'm like, that's not what happened in the cartoon. Therefore, I was never into the comics.
I just bought that Miles Morales game for PlayStation, the Spider-Man, the black one, mm-hmm, black mm-hmm. and Puerto Rican kid. I haven't played it yet. If I would have started before we did this, I would be like, oh shit, I got to talk to Katie. So sometimes I got I really get, because like,
I would understand.
There will be times when I'm like really into a game and I'll play it, but then I take breaks. I take like long breaks. And when I get back into it, I'm like,
yeah,
stuck on it. But I need to read more.
Experience time loss.
I've got so many.
Let me tell you one other thing though, because I kind of want to get your take on it. So okay. I talked to a psychic in like November, like late November. No, I guess early November. And he was like, all right, I see you moving to a German speaking country in the second half of next year. And not that I'm like, a psychic said I should do it, so I should do it, but it sounds fucking cool, so I should do it. That's more where I'm at. So I might do that. In the second half of the year, just got to figure out my apartment.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you like traveling and stuff. So
I like traveling, but I never studied abroad in college, and it's like something that I wanted to do. And you know, I'm 40. I'm turning 41 on Monday, so this is like my last chance to do it as like a before I'm like older. So, and it is like a pretty big box to check.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, if not now, literally when, you know?
I would say wait until everything's squared away with Corona.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
You know, the second
half. He said not before the second half of the year.
Yeah. Second half. I mean, cause even then, like, yeah, some people said fall for stuff to kind of,
I mean, everything's such a shit show all the time that I'm like, we can't really make any plans at all.
Do you know how are they handling everything in Germany?
I think it's pretty bad. I think it's bad in Europe, but they're handling it better, you know?
Yeah.
They are like more on top of it.
I would be concerned about that.
Of course. I mean, that's like, that's going to probably be like the biggest consideration.
Yeah, I would say that.
But it's, you know, if it's better there than here, then why not? And I think it's going to be, I'm not sure we're going to actually make it all the way out of this.
You think
the corruption in our government is so bad, and I don't know how you root it out without, you know, I don't believe in burning it down. I don't think that's productive. I think it kills more people than it helps.
I think burning it down is is it 300,000 people that have died from this? How many, what is it? How many people have died?
I think it's more than that. I think it's close to four.
Four now?
Yeah. I'm trying to see if I got a news alert. I didn't.
I think
it's close to four though.
Oh, it's close to four. Okay. So it's like, it's a lot. I mean, and it's, I think that's part of burning it down. I think that you just made me real think about that's part of things burning down and people like, you know, just dying. Just people just being expendable
and suffering, just like the suffering that we're seeing now when we do have a system is so awful that I'm like, there's no way it gets better with no system.
Mm-hmm.
We have to fix the system's fucking fucked up. And I'm sorry, I'm really getting very liberal with my cursing.
That's okay. You say what you want to say. I mean, I've had people on the show that have told me all cops aren't bad. And yeah, I've heard, you know, and it's just been like, it's like, oh, okay. They're not, but like all cops aren't bad. But like,
I mean, it's really like, that's not what it means. Yeah. That's not what it means. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I think the, in the white community, as such as it,
you're,
if there even
I would
is
say
one.
You're, there's not, you are a white person that's been on this show that I hope to not worry. You know, I hope I don't disappoint me, Katie, but it's just like you've been like pretty level, you know what I'm saying? Like,
well, I have had longer to work on it, I think, than a lot of white people. You know, like I even had some conversations with my mom who, you know, she raised me in Tacoma Park. She's liberal. Mm-hmm. But we had some conversations where, you know, like I think I made some headway, but it's like I have more black friends than she does and more friends of color in general. And that's like, I'm lucky because I can talk to people directly and, you know, hear their opinion, and they're my friends. So they hold space for me to like work through things.
Yeah.
So it's just been more gradual for me. And, you know, I'm for a white person, I'm doing okay, but that doesn't mean that I'm doing so great.
You know? Oh no, I understand that. No, we're all, I think we all COVID sans COVID. I would think if you get to 41, like we're approaching, you have to reflect on shit.
I mean, you'd be surprised. I mean, I have high school friends who I know for a fact have not reflected on it.
Do you think that's because, and I would like to think that the people that listen to this show, I don't want to come across as being pretentious by saying this, but do you think that's because like being an artist makes you introspective and you're constantly
I think that has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, it's like a constant recalibration of of things like, oh, if I say that joke, I'll get quote unquote canceled, or if you know, or it's just like, or as a person, how you're coming off, and also
you have to consider all the different perspectives. Yeah. And you know, once you've been in front of audiences a bunch of times, you do that automatically, you know. You're like, I wonder how this would be received, and you can kind of think, you know, that's how we like get better as joke writers and performers.
Yeah.
Anticipating how the audience will react to something.
Cause it helps me, like even at my day job where it's like, you see where somebody's coming from, and I can like analyze the way that they talk about something, the way that they send an email. It's like, this person is kind of being an asshole, is being an asshole with this email. I'm not going to write back. I'm not going to play into that. And that person has a higher status in this office. But once we leave, that person's just a regular person. And it's not like, I'm going to fuck you up after. Yeah. And it's just like, I know where I stand in the company and as a black person who is existing within this company. So I'm going to let you have that moment that you feel like you had.
Yeah.
And then I'll just talk to my supervisor and say, hey, this is what's really going on. I know you saw what you saw in this email, but let me tell you about X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to leave it there before I have put something on the record of me being disrespectful to somebody that's been being disrespectful to me.
Yeah. You know? So, I mean, and you can draw on your lived experience as a black man in America to like anticipate how that would go, you know, versus like how it would go for me if I were to like bring a complaint. Not much better, spoiler alert. But we also, because of our art form, we are around so many different kinds of people.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think more than any other art form practically, because it's like, if you're in music, you have to have musical training or something, you know, and like comedy, you can just show up one day and be like, I'm a comedian now, and you are and I think that helps us in other areas of our life, because we just have all this, we've seen people behave in all these diverse in a negative ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so we can really like, we have a more holistic concept of what human behavior is like.
Yeah. And I think that's something that like that I kind of like a point, like even when I was teaching theater to kids, I was like, look, you might not grow up to be an actor, but you will have a sense of yourself. You will mm-hmm. have confidence in yourself that you can get up and you will have to one day probably get in front of, stand up in a room full of people and make a statement or yeah. or do something like you, you know, kind of like Toastmasters or something, you know, to get your feet wet in something. But like, it only enhances you. Yeah, there's a lot of bullshit that you got to deal with, and it's a lot of struggle, and people cope with rejection in various ways. But just the art form in and of itself, without that judgment, I mean, God, that I don't know. It's not.
No, I think that's what like comedy for me, you know. And it's like, even I, you know, I think you and I was saying earlier when we started comedy, we weren't like, we're gonna be stars, but
yeah,
It is like people from outside comedy, people who within comedy are like, why would you do this? You know, like, why haven't I heard of you? Why would you want to do, like, you're a failed comedian because I've never heard of you. And I'm like, well,
yeah.
If that's your opinion, then fine. I don't feel that way. I perform when I want to, you know, I mm-hmm. say what I want to, and not depending on income from my art gives me more freedom as an artist.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And well, you know, for kids who are thinking about it, it's like, I know that when you're little, you're like, that person is an actor and that is like what they do all the time. And that's not true. Like, that can be just one facet of your very interesting personality where you can be a bunch of different things. And one of them is an actor. One of them is a stand-up. One of them is, you know, whatever else.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think like being a well-rounded person is more important to me than commercial success.
Cause yeah.
We've been in the game long enough to know that commercial success and talent are coincidental.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I still want to progress in my career, in the career and stuff, but it's
of course,
like,
me too. Yeah.
It's just sort of like you almost like at what cost?
Yes. Yeah.
And I think like being older, like my first real SAG gig didn't come until I was 37.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, and you kind of take things into perspective more. It's like, you know, it's just kind of like, I like the progression. I'm not going to put too much on it. I'm not going to be, because when I was in my 20s and, you know, auditioning and performing, it's like, this could be the thing that takes me to the next level.
Yeah.
It could be this, you know.
And I can, like, quit my job, which I would love.
But yeah. I think that's making it. To me, it's like, if I don't have to get up at 6 o'clock or 4:30 and log on to a fucking computer.
Yeah, that's rude. Like, honestly, that the schedule is what would do me in. It's not the work.
Yeah.
But that kind of schedule would kill me.
But getting up at 4:30 to be on set.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, working all night, working on some lighting for a fucking scene.
Right. Tech. And I, you know, this is like a big reason that I'm for universal basic income, because like you shouldn't have to like prostrate yourself for those opportunities.
Yeah.
Just for money.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think you shouldn't have to work a day job. Like, I don't think any of us should have to work a day job. We have enough robots now that none of us should be working.
Yeah. It's so funny. I was at Wegmans a couple weeks ago.
I'm so jealous.
Oh, you're jealous?
Yeah.
Why?
Like, we don't have Wegmans near me.
There's one in,
Yeah, it's Brooklyn, all the way down there.
Brooklyn.
My dad is from Rochester, grew up in Rochester. So, you know, that's where Wegmans is. So
I was there yesterday. I was
Rochester?
There. No, I mean Wegmans.
Oh, Wegmans. Yeah. Okay.
But there was one time. So I was there, like, it was early. They just opened up one this past summer in Westchester. And I was doing the self-checkout. It was like, I get to work early. So it had to be like 6:30. Mm-hmm. In the morning, and this lady kept looking at me doing and self checkout. I'm like, I'm not stealing this shit.
Like, I'm at the checkout.
I'm at the checkout, like, you know, like, and she was just like, looking and trying. I was like, come on, are you serious? This early in the morning, you're being.
She racist. Probably went to the Capitol.
She probably did. She probably took a PTO day, and went down there. But yeah, Wegmans is the shit. Like, I'll talk about Wegmans all day.
It's so awesome. Oh my God, it's so good. Yeah. It's like every other chain. Like, I'm from Maryland, so we had Giant. Yeah. Giant doesn't hold a candle to Wegmans. Wegmans is incredible.
The Giant, they've upgraded. I mean, the Giants are, the Stop and Shops up here are the Giant equivalents now.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
they're the same.
I think they are, yeah, because they both use Pequon.
My dad worked
at delivery from Stop and Shop.
Oh, you do? Uh-huh. They have them in Queens?
There is one in Long Island City, I understand, but I've never seen
it. Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
My dad, my listeners know, like, my dad was in the industry. He worked at Shoppers for like 20 plus mm-hmm. years. So I know about, like, we'll talk about grocery stores. Now they're doing Instacart now. The thing that they don't, I think my dad gets it. My mother's like, kind of like when Instacart, they don't give you the right thing, or they don't. A lot of the shit, like early on in the pandemic, there were things that you couldn't get, but now everything's kind of there.
I mean, I've heard some pretty bad stories about Instacart shoppers. Like,
they're not good. Some of them aren't good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some are great. Like, I've had good experiences. I've done it a couple of times. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm working and I was like, oh, I don't want to go to the store, I'll do it. But I've done it maybe three or four times. But for my parents, like, I don't want them fucking, going anywhere if they don't have to. So, they've done it. My mom gets a little disappointed. I was like, the shoppers are just shitty.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, my C-Town has online shopping just through them. Yeah. So I do that now.
Yeah. Okay. So you don't go out that much, do you?
I don't. No, not that much. I mean, I'll go. It's more about the carrying stuff than about the, you know.
That's true. Yeah.
Although last time I went, there was a line and I was like, this is not cool.
There was, you know, Christmas Eve, I went to that Uncle Giuseppe's place. And I was like, oh, I'll just go to Uncle Giuseppe's and get some stuff. And the line was wrapped around the building.
I walked past the Trader Joe's on Christmas Eve. And I was like, what were you all thinking would happen?
you can walk by a Trader Joe's on Flag Day. And that shit will be they have some good stuff in there. But that place is intense.
Yeah, it's intense when there's no pandemic.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah,
it's probably better now because they're only letting a certain number of people in the store.
But living in the city definitely is like when I lived in Chicago and I would go to the store, I would walk to the store. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I would have to take a cab home because it would be like I'd have so much shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I mean, I can go back. I can make two trips, but last time I just got it delivered. Although it was like, you know, I'm home 23.5 hours a day, except when I'm out for a walk. And the guy came early while I was out for my walk.
Oh, shit. Oh.
Yeah. So then I had to come home and wait around again. It was fine. But
sometimes the shoppers, they're just not that. They're not good.
Yeah. I don't know who does it at the C-Town. I think they just have somebody who like fulfills those orders who works there. It was fine. Like I got pretty much everything and you know, you can mark like, is it okay to substitute something else or do you not want a substitution at all?
Do you I know they're evil, but Whole Foods and Amazon, have you ever done that?
I hate Jeff Bezos.
That's right. We had this conversation. We did.
I mean, last time we did this, didn't you come over? Like
I did
before the pandemic and I already hated him. And that was just petty bullshit.
Was that December?
I think so.
No, that was like 20. That was 2018.
Was it?
Let me check.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I know the table was over there and not over here when we did it. So it was a long time ago.
Mundane Festival, Katie Compa. This is your, third appearance, I think.
Yes.
You were on December, so it was December 2019. Oh yeah, December 2019.
Okay, yeah, that sounds right. My mom's
birthday, the episode when it was posted.
Oh.
And the day before Katie Holmes's birthday.
Oh, interesting.
Oh yeah, that was December 2019. I remember that.
Yeah. What were we talking about?
Grocery stores, Instacart shoppers.
Oh, Jeff Bezos.
Jeff Bezos.
Yeah. So, you know, I think I remember saying he had just gotten the divorce and his wife got half the money and she's already given away $3.6 billion just this year. And I'm like, that's what you do when you're a billionaire, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's just been amassing more and more and not doing anything with it. And I'm like, you personally are suffocating the economy. Like you could give us all healthcare, you know? Mm-hmm. If this is such a great capitalist country and the free market is so great, then why don't you do something good with your money?
Like give your workers health care at least.
Yes. Like you're not, you cut their hazard pay for what? You have more money. You are like, you have double more money than you could ever need, you know? Mm-hmm. And I don't even know what that number is. Like it's so money's imaginary. So who the fuck really cares, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's like we are in the like the part of capitalism where it starts to eat itself.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it very well still might crash and burn, you know. The California gig workers thing for,
yeah,
for Uber and Lyft, like that's, and they had all those workers voted against their own interest for like a short-term gain.
Yeah.
And I hate saying like, why do you vote against your own interest? Why am I so much smarter than you? But, you know,
there's gotta be more
scam.
To
it's a fucking scam.
Cause it's almost like that. Like, cause I was thinking about that is like, it's not as cut and dry as people like us would think it is.
Of course.
You know, and like,
like, there's a pandemic. People are, you know, they want money now. They need it now.
Right.
And the government isn't doing that. So I understand why you would vote in the short term to do that. But it's like, then some grocery store, somebody just told me, cut all their unionized truck drivers and are going to replace them with Uber and Lyft drivers.
Yeah. Because they don't want to pay the insurance or anything like that. Yeah. It sucks because, like, because I went to, like, there's a new, like, burrito spot that opened. We started, you know, how those folk guys start out having a food truck and then they, and they have like a flagship store. And I'll shout them out. This place called Bro-ritos. It's like a black. And it's
Who are they? What do they look like?
They're black dudes.
Okay.
Oh yeah, they're black dudes that make burritos and have.
Which bro do you?
it's good.
Bro,
like,
who?
Like they're good. Like because it's I'll tell you a long story just to make it fun for the podcast. My favorite Mexican place was called La Frontera. It was right in front of the jail here in Hackensack. And it was fantastic. Like I'd sit, you know, go there once or twice a month. Sometimes I would do carry out or sometimes I would just sit in there and eat. It was authentic Mexican food. Fantastic. They closed and they moved to another area that was, I don't know, like far enough for me to not go to the new spot. And, then, like, I would go to these other towns to go try burritos, and they just weren't that good.
Yeah.
They were just kind of, like, okay. They were just fine. Like, and Bro-ritos came up, and they, you know, during the George Floyd thing, they were like, DoorDash was like, support Black-owned businesses. And Bro-ritos came up. I was like, okay, let me try it. I had it. It was fucking great. And then I was just, you know, talking about the DoorDash stuff, there was drama with that. You know, are the restaurants getting the money? Are the drivers getting the money? And so I was in there last week and I said, hey, do you guys, like, I was talking to the guys. I was like, do you get all the money when people order from DoorDash? And he was like, no, we get a percentage of it. And I was like, okay, so from now on, I'll just do carry out.
Yeah.
I'll just call.
I do that with most of them, but I now have Chow Now, which I've been told by a food writer on Twitter is a flat fee. It's like $150 per month.
Okay.
To join the platform. So when you order, they do get all the money.
Okay. I want to talk about your Instagram post that you had like a couple weeks ago, like New Year's Eve.
Oh, or, yeah. About taste.
Yeah. I want to talk about that. But so, because it's like, and when I've used DoorDash, like I just tip well. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not rich or anything, but it's like
I'm like a mafia don with tipping. It is like insane. I tip in cash. I do like I'll reserve, especially if I'm ordering on Seamless, I'll tip in cash.
Oh, so. You can do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can select cash tip.
Oh, okay.
It's not on every platform. I think on Chow Now you have to tip on the app, or it just depends on the place. They can like select.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
It's a little
different. Cash when possible.
It's a little different for you because you live in the city.
Yeah, and, yeah.
Like you would like really use it, use these apps and to get your food and stuff because you're not driving. But it's like me. It's like okay, if I really wanted something, I could go and pick it up. Like you can, if you really wanted Fat Boy, you can go get that shit.
I mean, I do live in Astoria. Like I can go. It's right there.
Yeah,
like I can walk, but
yeah, but that
means getting dressed and like
Yeah, because I broke down and went to Pizza Hut on Sunday, and it was like I gave like a 20.
That's so Maryland.
I know, isn't it? I didn't even think about that. But that's what we grew up on. Like the more, you know, even though Maryland,
I don't know, as soon as I had like real pizza from like the tri-state area, I was like, oh shit, this is so much better. I don't think I've had pizza since I was a kid.
It's not, you know what, maybe it's a childhood thing, but it ain't, okay. Now I don't think I'll go back for a while, but it was just, but I tipped the guy. I did the carry out thing. And when I came in, the guy, I tipped maybe 20-25% or whatever. And the guy was like, thanks for that tip. And I was like, oh, sure. You know, like they appreciate that shit.
I mean, that's also what I'm hearing. You know, Casey Salengo is bartending.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
I mean, you know, you wear a mask, and I think, I don't know what bar he's at. I think it's somewhere in Greenpoint. I'm not really sure. But he said people have been not tipping. People will just like sign a receipt with a big smile with no tip. And like, I just don't, it's another one of those, like, I'm like, we live in a country of sociopaths. Like, how can you go out?
I'm starting to believe the wrong people are fucking dying from this shit.
Yeah, I know. I wish this virus was a little fairer and a little more vindictive.
Like, I hate to say it, but it's just like, man, the wrong people are dying. And it's like in that constant, like we're constantly judging ourselves before people judge us, this artist life that we're living. But it's sort of like you think like, man, I want this business owner to get all of their money.
Yeah.
And then I was talking to one of my best friends since like first grade. And he lives in the Bay Area. And he's like, hey man, look, I use this. I think he was just saying like, I use all these apps. I was like, well, that makes sense. Cause you're in the Bay Area.
Right.
And I guess he just tips, you know, I hope that he just tips well. And I think he would, but like, You just try to do right by people. And,
yeah. And I'm of the opinion that we shouldn't have to be making these choices. Like,
right.
Casey shouldn't have to bartend to fucking get a living. Like the government should be paying people to stay home. So it's like shitty that we're in this position where we have to choose between like staying safe or like keeping the economy going and helping people eat, you know? Yeah. But I mean, if I'm going to go out, I'm tipping at least 40% generally.
Yeah. Cause it's shit.
I mean, it depends on the meal. Like if it's, you know, if it's like a lot, if it's a nice meal, then it's going to be like 25.
If it's at Wendy's, you're like, hey, let's.
No, then I'm like, oh, I'm going to make it rain. It's going to be 4,000%. Nice,
kid. Buy yourself something nice. Yeah, that's one of those things where it's like, but I've never been, not to say, oh my God, because I'm a flawed person. Okay. I mean, come on.
Aren't we all?
Yeah. But when there's people that are making your fucking food.
Yeah.
Are servicing you. You take care of them.
Yeah. Especially now when you like don't even have to leave your fucking house. Like you don't even have to put on clothes to work, you know.
When we went to when we were all at my party, you guys, we all paid for everything and I had the tab and I made sure she was good, you know.
Yeah.
All you know, it's you just got to that was before shit went left, you know.
And it's like I don't even want to say like that we were raised that way, but it's like it's just
that's part of it too.
You have to be raised. It's part of it, but it's like once you're an adult, you can look around and see like if I were working that job, what would I want? You know, how would I feel like valued? And you know, I think tipping is bullshit. I think we should stop that. but you know, that's the system that we have. So
yeah, what should be in place of that?
Like wages like they have in Europe.
Just good wage. Okay.
Like if you're in Europe, I've been chased out of, because I feel uncomfortable not tipping. And I've been like chased out like you forgot your money.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. It's a different fucking.
Yeah.
Tell me about this app. Let's wrap it up on this app.
Okay. It's not an app. It's a website basically.
Okay.
And they text you with the menus that are available. So it's called Taste. It's gettaste.com, I think. And it's these mostly Michelin starred restaurants that are making meals available for delivery, and you just heat them up and serve them to yourself. And they have available, like I got a wine pairing and I got a cocktail pairing that meal. So I was real fucking faded by the end of the night, but also very full.
Was this Christmas?
I think it was Christmas.
Christmas. Yeah. Okay.
And they delivered it on the 24th. I stuck it in the fridge overnight and then I just had to do like the finishing.
Okay. So you, damn, you and you played it this?
Uh-huh. Yep.
That shit looks good.
Oh, you're looking at my post?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is this thing on this third deli- what kind of meat is that?
Duck.
How is duck taste?
You haven't had duck before?
No, I'm not cultured.
Oh my god, it's good. It's like the only dark meat on a chicken, and then the skin is like super fatty. It's a very fatty bird.
What so it's like when, and these are Brussels sprouts?
Yes.
I've been really into Brussels sprouts.
You know, I read an article that like, because you know, Brussels sprouts were always like the go-to, like that vegetable is fucking disgusting as a child. And then we grew up and we're like, yeah, they're pretty good actually. But it turns out there was like some kind of intervention in terms of like Brussels sprouts genetics. Like there was mm-hmm. some gas or something that came out of them that made them taste and smell really awful.
Did
like
you socks. Tweet something about that?
I don't think so. Possibly.
Somebody did. Yeah. I feel like you
I tweeted it. About the bucatini shortage. That was my big.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what are you like? Because I'm trying to be like, I will get into this alcohol in a second. What? So, okay, this looks really good.
It was so good. And the meal, because without the pairings, the meal was only $75.
And this is one meal?
Yeah.
You ate it all?
I ate it all.
In one meal?
I didn't think I was going to be able to. But I mean, I did it, you know, it, like that's another thing is like you can take as long as you want to eat it. So I took like an hour between, that's at least good. Between the last course and dessert.
See, I'm not trying to be a creep, but I like women that can eat.
I can't not eat. So
I took a
I really can't put it. Oh my god, wait, I forgot to tell you this. So I okay. Last week I was mailing a bunch of mail packages and I did click and ship through USPS and you have to tell them the weight ahead of time. So I was like, okay, yeah. I'll get the scale out and I'll do the old like Mr. Wizard trick of like you weigh yourself and then you weigh yourself with the package and that's how you know how much the package costs. And then I got on the scale and I was like, this scale is obviously broken. And then I got off it and then I was like, wait a minute. I was like, wait a minute. I gained 11 pounds and did not notice, which like, it's not, I feel great. I look great, you know, but, yeah. I thought I knew my body. That's all. It was like a big that's shock. Funny.
No, like, see, I don't see, we got this on tape. I'm not trying to like, I'm too much of a nice guy, but I would say like most black dudes would not have a problem with you, Kate.
No, no, no. I know.
I'm not trying.
I'm not sure. I don't look better, Chris. Honestly,
you might. Just, see, you might. Yeah. You might. I always thought. Look. To be honest, I'm not trying to be. Fuck it. I'm gonna be real. You're an attractive woman. I never.
Thank
had,
you. Whoa.
I never had a problem. Some. I had this conversation with someone before, like how I think, and I'm these are just my thoughts. And I think that some white women are influenced by gay people, gay men mm-hmm. telling them what they should look like. The people that are in these high.
I don't think it's just gay men.
Well, there's men. Well, there's men too. You
it's
know,
the it's the patriarchy. It's a
patriarchy. It's under yeah. the umbrella of the patriarchy telling you what you should look like. I've had stories with. Okay, I'll tell you a story. I was doing this play. I was like 20, 26, 27. I was doing The Merchant of Venice. In a church in Chicago. In the middle of Chicago, uptown, north side of Chicago. Fun, directed by one of my classmates, and we were former classmates and stuff, but we were hanging out doing the play. Just one white girl who was a dancer. And she, you know, you just like kind of, you know, you're just kind of fucking fooling around backstage. Mm-hmm. And she's dancing and she throws her leg up on me. And she's a white woman. And she throws her leg on me, and I was like, "Oh shit!" I was like,
"Save the last dance."
Oh yeah, I was like, "You're thick," and she was like, "Oh my god!"
Oh no!
I was like, "No, that's good. No, you're
don't know good. For a dancer."
Well, she was a.
They like, all have eating disorders. I'm generalizing.
She was an actor, but she was an actor that could dance. And she was like a nice, healthy woman. It was just like, I was like, yo, like,
I bet if you said that to her now, she wouldn't react that way.
Yeah. Like I, you know,
like and it, thick has come a long way from, you know,
I think it has, but you know, it's like, you just kind of, sometimes you see these things and it's just like,
of course,
no, it's like, no, you're a good looking woman.
Yeah.
And it's just you're, if you, I remember seeing this one girl, she was a black girl, black woman, black, she was a black girl when we were in high school, and she was a cheerleader, pretty girl. And this had to be like, this might have been like 10 years ago. I'm back home, I'm getting a haircut at my old barbershop, and I see this woman is like, Chris. I was like, oh, hey. And she had had a kid, and she looked fucking good. Like she looked like she filled out. So I don't know what, I don't, basically I'm just saying I don't have a problem with women.
Totally. I mean, but the rule is like, try not to comment on people's bodies, even if it's positive. Like,
I remember one time I did a show on Slate. I did a podcast on Slate. Shout out to Aisha Harris when she was working there. And we were talking about the Oscars. And this was like maybe I think it was the 2018 Oscars. And I just remember how like Viola Davis looked good. Like she's just this chocolate, dark skinned black woman. And I was just like, yo, like she looked great. And I wasn't like lecherous or anything. I was like, yo, I just said she looked really good.
Yeah, that sounds like how I would say it.
In that dress. And one of the producers was like, I don't know if we could say that. I was like, oh, we can't celebrate a dark-skinned black woman looking good?
Right.
What the fuck is going on? Because when
people at an awards show where like they got a stylist to help them look their best,
right,
I think it's okay to comment on it.
Because I think like, you know, because part of me felt like when Lupita Nyong'o won for 12 Years a Slave, when she was having that run, you know, it just seems like they were placating. And Lupita is a bad one, too. Now this is me like, being a creep.
No, she's beautiful. Like she's even beautiful. I am like, I'm suddenly sexually confused.
Like, yeah. So like, but it almost felt like, black women could speak to this, but it almost felt like they were placating her in a way, even though she's beautiful. Like,
I mean, it's like, I was talking to Selena Kopic about this. It was like a couple years ago, but white women really like overperform appreciation for black women in a lot of circumstances. And like at the time we were talking about Beyonce, because Beyonce was on tour and it was like every white girl we knew was like, oh my God, Beyonce, I love her so much. Like I'm Becky with the good hair. And I was like, can you just like consider the context of that song and not call yourself that?
Yeah.
And maybe Google good hair and then shut the fuck up forever. Like,
did you listen to the lyrics? Did you actually get what they were saying?
Like, anyway, I think that's like mostly what it is like, it's words, it's mouth action and like lip service. That's what
So it's like, cause it's almost like you can't say any, you can't fucking compliment a woman anymore. I don't know. I never,
or like, you know, I don't have any black friends, but I love Beyonce and I feel like she's my black friend. Like that kind of like,
that's not
the same thing as a real life black person.
I think Selena tweeted about that she once did, before. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember that. Yeah. I don't know. We still got to be able to talk to people, you know?
Yeah.
And you can still, I think if the right person is saying it, then it's
It depends on like how you're saying it, who you're saying it to. And you know, I think we are going through something societally in terms of like how we speak to each other and and we're still figuring it out. And it'll get less loaded to do that as we like deal with these other issues of racism and sexism and whatever else.
Sure. Yeah. I think so too. I think we'll hope. I still try to remain, try to have some kind of positivity with it all, you know, like I still try to, you know, still have that like Pollyanna and Frank. People are good at heart.
People are good. I'm like, are you 12?
Yeah, but it's still
that's a valid position for a 12-year-old who lives in an attic and doesn't talk to anybody. But
yeah, I know
we're going to be getting that diary out of this time period.
Yeah, I don't know. I still try to be positive about things, but yeah, it even though it's hard, even though like I don't think anybody, I don't, it's to me, it just kind of seems put like it's put on to be really mm-hmm. surprised about what happened.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know? I mean, it's the only, if you were surprised, you were working on keeping your blinders on to mm-hmm. allow for that surprise. Like you don't read the news or you only talk to people that you agree with. And
yeah.
You're one of those people that doesn't think Trump voters are racist.
Yeah, because I just remembered somebody said a couple of days ago on a podcast, just like, where were the rubber bullets?
Right. Where was anything?
Yeah.
My sister went, she was at Lafayette Square that day that they tear gassed all the people, and they actually ended up leaving early because her friend got hit with one of those pepper bags or whatever. It's like a bean bag.
Yeah.
And nothing was happening, you know? So that's, I'm definitely like, I am way, way on board with the, this was an inside job.
What was thing. What was the kid, the Jacob Blake, like, mm-hmm. you know, that verdict came down. Yeah.
Yep.
No.
Wisconsin. Sorry.
Wisconsin. Yeah. Kenosha.
Yeah.
So when that, like that verdict went down, I was like, yeah, they're going to get acquitted. They had people lined. They had soldiers and shit.
Yep.
But it's like
somebody said yesterday, it was like their attitude when they were inside was just like, hey, isn't this fun? Isn't mm-hmm. this cool we're doing? Isn't it totally like normal and not fucking scary at all? And somebody was like, that's exactly the energy that their grandparents brought to lynchings. And that's, you know, how fucking twisted to bring that like air of like, isn't this fun to something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, again, I think what they wanted. I think they wanted to either abduct or kill members of Congress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really shameful. And you don't, because it's like, that doesn't happen here.
Mm-hmm.
And even in my America, because I think even though I'm a black person, it's still like, you still kind of, That doesn't happen.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I'm of a certain, you know, class where it's like, that shit's not supposed to happen here. It's supposed to happen somewhere else. But, you know, we still, you know, we deal with our bullshit, and it's just, everything's just kind of coming to a head now.
Well, yeah. I mean, I hope that that we deal with it. Like it's, you know, it's like when a boil pops.
Right.
I think it's popping right now.
Do you think it's because like more white people are noticing it now?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, and it's going back to Rodney King. Like, I think
mm-hmm. was that our first one?
Yeah.
We were like 11.
I think so.
You were born in 80, right?
80. Yep.
Yeah. We're the same age. So like, it's like, that was like what? 11 or 12, 91.
I think 92? So. I think the tape was 91 and the riots were 92. Like the trial was 92. Yeah.
Watch that movie. I'm going to give you an assignment.
Okay.
Watch that movie Gook and let me know what you think. Like I think it's on Amazon. If it's not on Amazon, let me check.
I have that one because I have my mom's login and I will take from Jeff Bezos, but will not give him money.
So. Yeah. It's so hard when it's on Prime Video. It's so hard when you could, cause I mean, shit, I worked at Walmart when I was in college.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes you're just like, I can't believe fucking Walmart is doing the Doritos are $2 or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
And it's like, if you're, so you know, running a tight household budget, where are you going to go? You're going to go to the place that you can get the most stuff, but also, is like, paying health insurance to their workers through a state program that they shouldn't have access to.
We're all fucked up. Can I drop that to you? Let's wrap it up, Katie.
I have to pee, so we should.
Okay. Thanks for sharing that. And
you're welcome.
Katie, this has been a pleasure.
Same here.
Plug some stuff that you got going on.
I mean, all I have is my album right now because I'm I gave up my Drag Race podcast, but I still do it sometimes. It's called The Shade of It All. Mm-hmm. A RuCast pod race for RuPaul's Drag Race. Really loving this new season. It's out. I can be tweeted or clubhoused or Instagrammed or whatever. All my socials are at Katie Compa, KATIECOM as in Mary, P as in Paul, A.
Cool.
I just joined Clubhouse 3 days ago and I don't know how it works, but I am there.
Oh yeah. That's another thing.
It's fun so far.
Yeah.
I've only been lurking, but it's fun.
I've had fun on there. Yeah. All right, Katie. Well, thank you so much for doing this.
All right. Thank you, Chris.
All right. Take it easy, everybody.